Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And I'm excited about the month of August. All month, we're going to be focusing on the fact that we have 5 months left of this year. I know COVID really messed your year up, but there's still 5 months left. You know, August, September, October, November, December. Five is grace. Come on, somebody. So for the next 5 months, we are going to activate our spirit, our mouth, our mind, because we will see with clarity, 2020 vision, our hopes and dreams become a reality. Don't give the enemy the five remaining months that are left, you know, in this year. Let's get on it. Also, some other exciting news. I've decided that just under the unction of the Holy Spirit that I want to start doing a bonus podcast every week coming up soon. It's probably going to be in September when we launch it, but it'll not be just my weekend sermon, but a bonus, something behind the scenes, maybe interviewing some of my friends. And in particular, the Lord's dealing with me about making a lot of it about your personal finances, talking about my solving your money problem system and all the things that are in there that I can unpack to make sure that 2021, you get started on the right track. So anyway, those are some of the things that are going to be happening on the podcast. Also, I want you to subscribe to this, like this, write a comment about it. Tell your friends about the podcast if you enjoy it. And as always, thank you so much for your financial support. When you give to the ministry, when you support the ministry, it helps us help people around the world.
I want to talk tonight about the ride of pride. Pride. The Bible says that six things the Lord hates, yea, seven is an abomination to the Lord. How many of y'all know if God thinks something's an abomination, we ought to kind of look into it? Say amen to that right now, somebody. And so pride will keep you back. So it's going to get really real tonight because I want to tell you not so many stories on me because my pride won't allow me, but I'm going to tell you stories about Nicole. How about that? No, I'm just kidding. Give it up for Pastor Nicole. She's looking good today. But pride. Pride is an enemy of your future. Pride is an enemy of your marriage. Pride is an enemy of your fun. Pride will keep you back. And one of the reasons why God hates pride is because he hates it because it keeps you from really enjoying your life. So one of the things that pride does is it makes you think too much about what other people think of you. Think too much. In fact, I can prove this, you know, a second ago when Dylan so graciously fell as he was entering the roller coaster. Probably the first thing that happened to him was like, oh my gosh, everybody saw me fall. And if he didn't, I want to draw attention to that right now that he he fell. Have you ever fallen or something like that in front of people? And the first thing you did was think, I mean, you might have broke your finger, but you're like, who saw that? Come on, raise your hand. Don't allow your pride not to. Come on, Florida, help me. Raise it again if you've done something like that. I saw something out. I see stuff. People send me stuff because we get creative ideas all the time. And some person was doing all kinds of flips and acrobatic stuff, you know. And they fell. They were like doing a trick. And they fell from like 20 feet on their face and came up. And you would think they would be hospitalized. But they got up. Their pride energized them to go like, da-da-da. Pride. Again, I want us to deal with pride so that we can enjoy our life. Because oftentimes maybe you won't go to church because you're like, well, people think I'm this or people think I'm that. If I allowed pride to keep me from doing what I do and enjoying my life, I'd be held back all the time. Because everybody has an opinion about what my opinion ought to be. I'm going to try it over here. Florida, go with me on this right now. Everybody's so disappointed in me that I would think that way. Oh, man. Why does he think that way? And so my pride, because I want people to like me. I'm a pleaser. How many of y'all, this is a test, and there's no, how many of y'all are pleasers in here? It's really important to you that other people are pleased with you. Raise your hand. This is going to be a funny test. How many of y'all like my daughter and you could care less? Raise your hand if you're like, I don't care what to think. Raise your hand. I want to see who you are. Because I'm proud of you. That's awesome. Didn't know that about you, man, but that's good. Nothing. It's just who we are. But you can be addicted to pleasing, and then whenever something bad happens, I'm going somewhere with this right now, you'll never show your face again because of pride. But if you could kill your flesh. In other words, say, I hate it that people don't like that, but I got to do what's right because it's right. And I got to do what the word said and what I believe in. And then all kinds of people will say, you don't think so? Just look at a post that I made on Instagram 2 days ago. And I typically preach for stuff, not against stuff. But every once in a while, I'll just go ahead and let something out that I know is going to really make people go crazy. But your pride oftentimes makes you not say what you really want to say or not do what you really want to do because your pride won't let you. This is good. My grandmother, love her, God rest her soul, she's in heaven today, and she loved to cook. And remember back in the day when people would stay and make a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like there'd be some old grandma. I don't do it anymore. But how many of y'all know some people back in the day that, man, they love baking and cooking? And that was my grandmother. She weighed about, she was also solid. She's about almost 6 foot tall. And she weighed, I don't know, it would be way up in the threes. She always wore a summer dress because she didn't want it restricted. And I love my grandma. And I would sit on her lap. And she's a big gal, so when you sit on her lap, you're only sitting on about that much of a lap. And she gets to laughing, and I would feel the back on a summer day in St. Louis, and it's hot outside, and I could feel the little bit of sweat that was on her neck, but it was a cold sweat there. I can still feel it today. And I love my grandma, and I just wanted her to have fun. But her pride wouldn't let her go swimming because what people think. They'd make fun of me. I can't ride a ride. We went to Six Flags as a kid. I did, and I kept trying to get her to go to Six Flags. She went with me, and then I finally talked her into going on the log ride, and so she finally went on the log ride. She's like, I don't need to go on. And she's got a dress on, right? And she goes up to get on the log ride, and she pulled a Dylan. Come on, somebody help me right now. She slipped. Her weight shifted, she fell, and she busted her kneecap, and it hurt, and she bled, and she started crying, and she got so embarrassed, she got beyond her pride being hurt, she was now humiliated. And she said, why'd you make me do that? I can't believe it. And I felt horrible, because we were having fun a minute ago. She kind of liked it, but nobody was looking. So I developed something, and I want you to try to develop this. I developed a great case of, I want you to like me, but if you don't like me, then that's probably going to be okay at the end. But for sure, if it ever goes past a level with me and it starts screwing with me having fun and you don't like me, we're out. Because I'm going to have fun. Come on, somebody. I'm going to enjoy my life. We're going to have a good time. People want to be around me because I like to have fun. We're going to ride the ride. If we fall off of it and we bust our kneecaps and people start making fun of us, you say, come here. Let me slap you upside the head. Because pride again says, well, you didn't have the perfect life. You didn't make all the right decisions. This is the enemy of peace that is trying to distract you and get you. This is what pride does. It gets you to focus on you. Grandma thought everybody saw her. Only a couple people saw her. And this is back before everybody recorded everything on their phone. If I'd have been on Instagram back then, how many of y'all know I would have had that on? That'd have been a boomerang. Nobody saw this, but the enemy tries to make you think that because you made some bad decisions that the rest of your life, everybody's thinking about the bad decisions that you made. I'm here to tell you that that's the devil that's trying to steal your peace, trying to keep you from thinking that you could ever be a Christ follower. Jesus' grace is bigger than your fall. It's bigger than your blood. Somebody ought to help me in Florida today. Jesus' grace is huge, massive.
Proverbs 8, might as well give you a scripture. As a preacher, you know, you're supposed to give one of these. We're 8 minutes into this thing. And the reverent fear, that means respect, and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil, pride, arrogance, evil way, perverted and twisted speech. It's a hatred for evil, pride, and arrogance.
Arrogance says, I'm pretty great. It's pretty awesome. Pride says, look what I did. Look what I've created. How many of y'all have seen people that are very arrogant and prideful, and there's something in you goes, you kind of make me want to, just kind of puked in my mouth just a little bit. Come on, help me right now. Help me, raise your hand. Now, there's nothing wrong with being proud, but there is something wrong with being in pride. You should be proud of the fact that you're a great whatever, proud of the fact that you did whatever. Be proud of that, but not in pride about it, arrogance about it. And the more humble you are, the more like Jesus that we are. Jesus humbled himself and became a man. Jesus humbled himself and hung on a cross, buck naked, in front of everybody, and was called everything by what he was. He didn't say, I don't have to do this. He knew he didn't have to do this. But he did the opposite of pride, and he clothed himself in humility, and he was humiliated. He was humiliated so we could actually walk in the righteousness of God in Christ. Even though we've done bad, we get good. Somebody ought to shout amen. Come on, Florida. Even though, I'm going to talk to this camera for 1 minute. Online, I'm talking to people around the world online right now. You're watching in Russia. You're watching in China. You're watching in Switzerland, all over the world. God knows who you are and where you are, and he knows what you did, and furthermore, knows what you're going to do, that you're going to be surprised that you're going to do in 2022, and he knows that and still loves you and forgave you already. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. I'm talking about his name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. Somebody ought to get excited. I said his name is Jesus. He lowered himself and became a man so we could pay pride. People think they walk on water. Pride again destroys marriages, destroys business relationships. It is a destroyer. Pride and arrogance can't be taught anything. It always has to be the teacher. The older you get, the more you'll understand you don't know much. When you're around 18, you peek out and you pretty much know everything. And then it starts going down and down and down. How many of y'all, the older you got, the less you think you know about everything you know, man? How many of y'all surprised about how much stuff you don't know? You're smart. Some of you didn't raise your hand. You got stuck at stupid. But, okay. But there's an arrogance. I've watched this happen a lot of times. I want to save you guys. I want to save you from doing what I've seen a lot of people do. And I've done it myself. Many times. My pride wouldn't let me say I was wrong. Then I started having so much, as the organization grew and the ministry grew, and it takes all these people to do it and all this money to do it, it got really big. And I started seeing that a lot of people on my staff were like stupid. I'm like, man, this. And then I realized that I hired them. So who's stupid? Come on, somebody help me right now. Because they were like arrogant or pride. And then I realized, man, I need to model, check this out, model being okay with not being okay. So I learned over the years to be the first one to say, I was wrong, I messed that up. I'll throw myself under the bus. I almost lie sometimes to exaggerate. Like you could choke on a pork chop and be puking at the table, and I would look and go, man, I do that all the time. Just to try to make you feel better about it. That's what relaxing people does, because you can't know everything about everything. Even with Google, it's a good cheating device, but you can't know everything about everything. But the one thing you can know and learn is how to identify, yes, I'm good at this, but I'm really bad at that. Again, it takes humility to say that. I was wrong. A lot of relationships, businesses, all kinds of things can be restored. If you could just simply tell a person, look them in the eye and go, I know you told me five things that I needed to improve on, And I took it to heart, and you were right. Most people say, I know the five things that you talked to me about, but anytime you say but, you zeroed everything out. I say, Arden, you're pretty, but. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You zeroed everything out. So an apology is an apology, and keep your big butt out of the way, because when you put, come on, somebody, I just heard him say, I like big butts in a can, I lie. So something about it. No. You know, an apology, just say, I was wrong. And then be like, because sometimes you can be wrong and not know you're wrong. I talk for a living. I say a lot of stuff, guys. And a lot of times I think I said something that I did not say. And then somebody will say, you said this. And I go, I did not say that. And they'll go, play the tape. And I'll go, crap. There, I did it again. Right? Because you think. But pride, I gotta, but, or people give you an area of opportunity in which you need to get better at, and you say, I saw that, but also I want to tell you great things. Florida, listen to me, I want to tell you something about your pastor, Pastor Austin. How many of y'all want to hear something about Pastor Austin? Florida's going crazy. I see him on the screen. You guys are like, I don't even know who Pastor Austin is. Pastor Austin is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. But Austin always had a thing. As a kid, I got him when he was 7, right? So he had his big people teeth, his little people teeth. And he came up to me and he said, hey, can I call you Papa? And I said, your mama called me Big Daddy, so call me whatever you want to call me, son. And then we got married, we started doing life. And if I told Austin, take out the trash, he would take out the trash, he would say, hey, can you open the door for me and put a bag in? I would give him one chore, he would give me two. Anybody ever seen people like that? Come on. George, come on, raise your hand. If you're talking about, how did I get a list from a 7-year-old? He always would give you something back. He's a good negotiator. But in relationships, marriages, if somebody brings you an area of opportunity, some people would say constructive criticism, your pride will swell up and go, ain't no woman going to tell me what to do. Now, my dad, top secret crypto on the armed forces, Vietnam trained, Highway Patrol Academy, ticked off kind of guy. He's a bad motor scooter. I've been seeing it from here to here with him, and he got shot and didn't cry. Drove himself to the airport. Flew back to St. Louis with a bullet in his leg. This guy, how many of y'all know, you don't jack with this guy. I just want to let Austin know, not one time did I tell him to put a trash bag in the bag. Because he would have put me in the bag. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all live back in the day when you didn't tell your daddy that? Anybody ever saw this? Come on, raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I know your problem. Anybody ever heard it hurt me more? It's going to hurt me more than you. Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand. Come on. Kids sue you now, but back in the day, my dad said, you ain't going to be able to sue me because you're going to be dead. I had fun making you, and I'm going to make one like you again. So pride again swells up. So my dad, all that training, right? And he one of his favorite songs is Merle Haggard. He loves Merle Haggard. Any country music fans in here? Anybody? Any rap fans in here? If you mix country and rap together, you get crap. Come on, somebody ought to have it right now, right? So my dad liked Merle Haggard. So Merle, he said, there was a song that said, ain't no woman gonna tie me down. Ain't gonna get too old to get around. And he had an attitude about, ain't no woman gonna tie me down. Ain't no situation gonna tie me down. And then up here at St. Anthony's Hospital, when he was in the latter part of his life, the last 5 or 6 days of his life, he was fighting the nurses. And fighting them and kicking at them and going nuts on them. And they tied his arms down with sheets on the bed. And I looked at him and thought, well, some woman done tied you down. Come on, help me right now. Because he was John Wayne to me. I mean, ain't no woman going to tie him down. But she done did it. So at some point in your life, somebody's going to help you in the nursing home. Somebody's going to help you Maybe it's the people. Also, I just want to apologize for everything I said today because he's going to pick up my nursing home. I'm so sorry. But you might as well lower yourself right now so you can enjoy your life, enjoy the people that are in your life, because people are the most important thing that you'll ever have. You can have all the money in the world, and I hope you get it. But if you're alone, you'll go, look at this pool. Look at this yacht. Look at this plane. You'll, I wish I had somebody to celebrate with, but nobody likes you. It's not you they left. It was your attitude they left. It's getting quiet, Florida. I hope you can hear me in Florida. Here, there seems to be a pandemic that has shut the mouths of brave people. Proverbs 6:15, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to the Lord. A proud look and a spirit that overestimates himself and underestimates others. And a lying tongue. Proud look and a spirit that overestimates himself and underestimates others. We always tend to overestimate ourselves. Underestimate other people. People tell me all the time, in my company, they just don't know. They don't know what all I do. And then all of a sudden now somebody else replaced them. They're faster, smarter, less expensive. And nobody know what I do. Pride says, don't you know who I am? Humility says, I'm glad to be here. I don't deserve to be here talking to you tonight. There's some of the leading business minds of the world in this room right now. Some of the top peak performers and income producers are here right now in the room. I see them. I can tell you their stories and tell you what they do and what they make and what they, and why am I up here? I'm a homeschooler. How is that possible? I'll tell you why. The Bible said God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. So I got the job because God's like, what's some kind of moron that we could perhaps elevate that would keep his feet grounded? And he might not really know how to dress, but he could talk some sense into people for a minute and say, it ain't all about you. It's all about him. And if you make it all about him, other people will be attracted to you. Somebody else, and then the world will be a better place because nobody knows it all. And by the way, nobody likes to know it all. They like to learn it all. Learn it all. Learn it. Teach me. Two ducks lived on a pond, and their best friend was a frog. And the frog convinced the two ducks, because they were moving on to another pond, because this pond was really, really low on water. And so the frog said, I can't fly like you guys can, but I got a good idea. I see this stick, and if you, Mr. Duck, and you, Mr. Duck, will put the stick in the middle of your mouth while you guys are flying, I'll just hang on with my teeth to the middle of that, and we'll go. And so they take off, and they're flying as hard as they can, but they're kind of low because this frog's kind of heavy. And they're flying, and all of a sudden a farmer sees it, and the farmer said, oh, my gosh, wonder who thought of that? And the frog said, I did. Because he had to open his mouth. See what I'm saying? When you open up your mouth, you have to let go and you fall. The Bible said that pride causes us to fall. That's why God said, I hate pride, because he knows that pride will keep you out of a good relationship. It'll keep corporately. It'll keep you down. It'll make the people at your work smile at you, but then go to the other room and think, man, I wish I had the money Bob thinks he's worth. And by the way, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. Instead of going to the table and say, guys, I know what I know. Now I want to know what you know. And then allow them to give you their input and wisdom. And you can, you know, take the hay and spit out the stubble. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. I'm talking about the ride of pride. Peace. I know a guy, I'm thinking of him right now, that this guy in his prom was really unbelievably good looking. I was thought of the song, we were with Toby Keith the other day in Colorado, and he's got a song, you ought to download it. It says, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Okay. People don't know, it's a fun song. You know, you don't like it, but I love that line. And by the way, about $50 million other people love that line. So there you go. But I'm not as good as I once was, but this guy that I'm thinking of in his prom, unbelievably good looking, really smart and pretty successful. He was married because he was good looking. He attracted a very good looking woman. I mean, you know, a good looking guy and a good looking woman get together, you have good looking kids. Come on, somebody ought to shout at me. Look at your neighbor a second, tell one of your family was ugly. Don't say that. Don't say everything I say. Guys, man. Guys, never listen to me, but then you do when you shouldn't. But I remember when this guy would walk into the room, he looked good. Everything was unbelievable. When he walked in, I was going, I'm bringing sexy back. You can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time. He had a thing about it, but he had an arrogant look about him. You're cool, it's cool, man. It was too cool to go to church, though. But his wife was so sick of him, so tired of him. She loved him, loved his body. You know, you can love somebody and love their body, but not like them. I like your body, don't like you. It's getting so quiet. Florida, please stick with me. St. Louis is like, no, I really do like you. So now she gets fed up. She starts going to church. Years and years ago, but my dad was a pastor. And she started going. She was seeking God. And now she starts being more humble. And she starts, the God in her starts recognizing the pride. And now she gets so sick of him. But he still got the thing, man. And I remember when it kind of hit the fan and she was done and he was done. And they parted ways. And then about 10 years passed. 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have not seen Mr. Sexy in 10 years. I see him again and I'm like, I don't know if you've heard of chest or drawers disease, but it's when your chest goes to your drawers. He ain't got a six-pack anymore. He got a keg. Somebody ought to help me right now. And he comes walking in, look like Santa Claus, and I'm like, man. And he's with multiple different girls because girls are different than women, by the way. And a male is different from a man, by the way. A real man says, I'm sorry, I was wrong, admits it, and loves God and tries to better himself. A boy says, I know what I'm doing. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. You know what? That's a boy. Don't date boys. Date men. And whatever you do, don't just look for, I'm looking for my other half. You don't want to marry half a man. You want to marry a whole man. You don't want to marry half of a woman. You want to marry a whole woman. I didn't say ho, I said whole. Come on, somebody, help me right now. So you got to get somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. Okay, so. Now, I looked at him and his lights are wrecked. And the multiple people that are in his life, they don't really love him. This is good stuff right now. There's only so many people in your life, listen to me, hear me yelling at you right now, that are really gonna love you. I told a guy one time that a girl fell in love with him and she was a couple years younger than him and he was a young man. They got married too young for sure, but whatever. I told him he thought he was awesome and he thought, you know, I don't need anybody. And he even told me, I don't need this and I don't need that. And I said, whatever you do, don't leave her because ain't nobody ever going to love you like she's going to love you. Well, he thought, you know, women are like buses. A new one runs every 10 minutes. That's the mindset he had. And still to this day, he has never been able to get anybody to really love him. And now his Facebook says, wish I was, can't believe I did. Because now he's humiliated because pride will bring you low and nobody wants to because the good looks, I know you're pretty, but it's not going to last forever. That's why you got to make a lot of money so you can have them fix it. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And they can make it all look pretty good. Help me with this. Larry King's been dead for 25 years. But through suspenders and tucking, you can look pretty good. You can't fix stupid, but you can fix ugly. Because you can make money and get some work did. Somebody ought to help. Florida, help me right now. But, so if you get somebody that really loves you, keep loving them, accepting the truth. Nicole tells me stuff I don't like to hear. She loves me. I know she loves me, but she's honest with me. My son, Austin, and for people that are confused, he's not biologically my son. When we got married, she had him, but it was unbelievable. I'm like, oh my gosh, I get you and I get him. It was like when you go buy cologne and you get a bag. Come on, somebody understand what I'm saying? You get the thing and you get a bag. Unbelievable. And I never changed a diaper and I never went through the terrible twos and he was old enough to take out the trash. He gave me trouble, but he took it out. Somebody says, this is good. But then Austin, over the years, I was always honest with him and told him, man, I did that wrong. I would tell him this all the time. This will help you a lot. Austin, I've never been a dad. It's my first time doing this, man. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, you got this. Instead of going, hey, I'm going to tell you something, boy. Nobody wants you to tell. I want to tell you something, boy. People are like, can I share something with you? It builds people up. Because when you're the expert, you turn them off. Plus, you're modeling that kind of behavior to them. And now nobody's going to like being and working with your family or your kids because you're all experts. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I want to be a learner-it-all. So if you lower yourself and you say, I'm not going to ride the ride of pride. I'm not going to have arrogance. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm not going to have this thing about me that makes people not be able to approach me because iron sharpens iron, Proverbs says. There's one man sharpens another. So Austin will tell me stuff all the time. MJ, my daughter-in-law, who is pregnant with our first grandson, who will be one of the most anointed people you've ever seen in your life, according to me. Come on, somebody. Tonight, Ashton was singing, in my father's house, there's a place for me. And I looked at her mama and I said, you know, that's right. In her father's house, there's a place for her. I want her to live with me forever. And then I said, when Bishop comes, he'll be singing, in my grandfather's house, there's a place for me. You want your kids to love you. You want your grandkids to love you. But you can't sing the song, I'm going to make you love me. No, they can't. You can't make people love you. But people can love you and not like you. The ideal that Christ has died on the cross is a beautiful personification of a gorgeous, incredible painting where he says, I've laid down my life for you and I did no sin, yet I became sin. You did no right and you became right. So now we could share that same beautiful painting with everybody and say, I love you no matter what you are, no matter where you came from, no matter what in who you love. I'm not saying that I am pro and advocating everybody's lifestyle. I'm not saying that, but I love everybody. If you're gay, I love you. If you're straight, I love you. If you're an overeater, I love you. If you're an attorney, I love you. If you're an atheist, I love you. If you're a Catholic, I love you. If you're a Pentecostal, I love you. I love you, not just because Jesus told me to love you. I love me, so since I love me, I can love you. But a lot of people can't love the neighbor because they don't even, somebody on, they don't even like themselves because pride has made you so stinky, you smell bad yourself. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. Oh, yeah. I'm almost done. Look at your neighbor and say, what's that mean? Look back at him and say, we ain't leaving anytime soon. No, we're almost done for real. James 4, verse 6, it says, but he, speaking of God, giveth more grace, that means unmerited favor, undeserved favor, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So do we want God to resist us or do we want God to give us grace? Everybody in here is created in the image and the likeness of God. Everybody tonight in rural Palm Beach, I miss you by the way. You're created in the image of God. And that's why when you see pride in other people, you don't like it. That's the God in you. You're like your father. The issue, as I close, is this. It's very easy for me to tell you what's wrong with you because I can see it. But it's really hard for me to see it in myself. So then when Nicole tells me the things that I need to change, you can be offended. Or you could go, tell me more. She'll tell you, and my kids will tell you, when you come to me, or my staff will tell you, when you come to me and tell me something, I don't go, yeah, but, yeah. I go, because I want to make it easy on them. I go, tell, I'm glad you told me. Thank you. I might not like it, but I want to receive it so they are not like my dad, who I love. How many of y'all know for sure, because a lot of new people don't know, how many of y'all have been with me long enough to know that I don't just love my dad, it's kind of warped, like I kind of really love my dad too much, right? So with all due respect to my dad was, don't come in here telling me nothing. So that made it really hard on me to lead, what they call lead up corporately, lead up, because of his pride. So let that pride go. Whether that was a sin you did, whether that's a Google search that you've got, whether that's a whatever. We've all got stuff that we're not proud of, but the virtue on the inside of us says, hang on a second right now. If I will lower my pride and narcissism, and I will enhance and bring more value to humility, I bet you that will bring peace not only to other people, but to me. Because I do stuff. I've preached with my pants unzipped on accident. It's embarrassing. I have said stuff that embarrassed me. I've spelled stuff on a whiteboard that embarrassed me. I went to homeschool. Let's talk about that a second. Right? So all these things try to say, you can't, you never, you always. I don't want to talk because after all, people even sometimes have speech impediments and they stutter. And it, oftentimes it's because they would be humiliated. I want you to get rid of that. If you're big like my grandma, be big and go swimming. Enjoy your life. Don't even do that thing where people say, you know, supposed to wait 30 minutes and then after you eat. Like, eat while you're out there floating and let people know, this is why I roll. Come on, somebody right now. I'm just rolling right now. I'm doing my thing. Come on, somebody else. Hey, I didn't mom, eat it out. Somebody gonna love you and you gotta love you. If you're skinny, you're like, oh man, I'm just so skinny. No guy's ever gonna like me because guys want a thick girl. So this girl over here saying, I'm not thick enough. This girl saying she's too thick. And you know who you are and what you are? You're exactly who God made you to be. I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too black, I'm too white. That's the enemy of your soul. Somebody shout amen. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. He's just trying to revolutionize your thinking tonight to say, wait a minute, the reason I go to church is because it's not a religious thing. I want to go get better. I want to be a better person. I want to model behavior to my kids that makes me better. And we're not perfect people. We're just people admitting we're really jacked up. And we're okay talking about it. Raise your hand if you're pretty jacked up. Raise your hand. You didn't raise your hand. You're so jacked up, you can't even freaking raise your hand. Huh? So let's try that again. Raise your hand. Come on, Florida, right now. Like, I'm jacked up. And I bring hope to people because they look at me and go, man, if God can use him, I'm not half as screwed up as he is. God can use me. Not only can he wants to. Humility. We get our word human from humility. Just you're human. God knows you're human. I want you guys, please hear me yelling. I want you to know I'm human. I'm a normal guy. More country music. I haven't listened to a lot of country music. I don't know what's coming out of me so much tonight. There's a song by a country singer, I don't even know his name, but it said, I'm still a guy. He said, you see a priceless French painting. I see a drunk, naked girl. Boom, 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 boom. Florida, I know you're with me right now. You're from the South. And the song goes through a bunch of sayings, and his line keeps saying, I'm still a guy. I'm still a guy. I'm still a guy. You're still a girl. Girls are going to be girls. Guys are going to be guys. Now, we need to be working on our condition, but our position in Christ is right. You're as right as you're ever going to be. You're as forgiven as you're ever going to be. Now, God's going to keep working on your condition. God told me in Testimony Sunday. He's at church all the time. Seen him for years. I don't know him. I don't think met him till Sunday. And he said he was on a float trip, and he's given me his testimony of how he lost his phone, and God retrieved it, And it went in the water, and several days later, and he was upset about it. And when he's telling me the story, he said, I dropped the phone, and I said, oh, right there. I didn't go, I laughed and said, I love our church. I love it that we have to edit our testimony. It's like, beep, 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 beep. Sounds like Morse code. God's doing something great. I tell you, the beep. And then it did it back. And I told, beep, beep, beep. We're not pretending church. We are the church. We're not reading a speech from a teleprompter. Be you, but be the improved version of you. Somebody ought to help me out. Working on you, because God's still working on you and in you. And quit trying to act like you got it together. You're still a guy. So don't be shocked when people do stuff. People are always putting preachers. This week, a couple of preachers got nailed on stuff that they did. I didn't go, my God, I'm just so disappointed. I went, he's still a guy. Try it over here. People want to pretend that everybody's the Pope. I tell you, the Pope's awesome, but how many of y'all saw it on Instagram when the Pope slapped that chick? Remember that on the other day? Some of y'all afraid you're going to go to hell for raising your hand. The Pope slapped him. He slapped her, and I went, oh, he's still a guy. Not being disrespectful. I can feel, though, we're in St. Louis. It's a Catholic town. Middle note, don't talk about the Pope being human. You're going to go to hell for that. We elevate men instead of elevating Jesus. And Jesus uses men, but all men are still a guy. Come on, give God praise today. Did you enjoy it? Come on, stand up with me on Facebook. I want you to share it like crazy on Facebook. Let's see how many shares we can get. If you're watching on Facebook, I want you to as well download the Faith Church app. It's the best way for us to make sure and ensure that anything that I say sometimes gets deleted off Facebook. So if you really want to make sure you get the content from Faith Church, download the app. It's absolutely free. And it's actually paid for. All that stuff that we give away is paid for by the generous, faithful tithers of Faith Church here and in Royal Palm. And for that matter, around the world. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to give it just another minute because I want to pray with you. And I want to pray for myself that God will help us lower ourselves in our own estimation so we can be who God's called us to be. Nobody looking around here in a Royal Palm. I see you, Royal Palm, right now. I can see you when you raise your hand, but it's only going to be me. I want you to raise your hand in a second if this fits the bill for you. If you say, Pastor David, there was a lot of things you said today that really spoke to my heart, and I knew I need to work on that. And before you raise your hand, some of you will be tempted not to raise your hand, and your neighbor might be your wife or some your significant other, and they kind of need to feel the breeze of your hand going up because they need to know that your pride did not allow you to be held back. So the question is, hear me yelling, the question is, I see some areas where my pride's a little out of control and I need a little more humility. 1, 2, 3, raise your hand. Okay, that's awesome. Put it back down. Now I want you to open your eyes for a second, just so you know, like a doctor, so you know you're normal. I think everybody's hand went up. I'm not sure, because it was quick, but I'm pretty sure that, which makes me super proud of you, because you did the hard thing and said, yeah. And when you do that, people like that because they go, oh, there's hope. And they're admitting this. So from the bottom of my heart, I say, thank you. God saw it and you saw it. I'm not in pride about you, but I am proud of you. So let me pray for you. Father, I pray right now in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, God, that your anointing would move in and out every row, up and down every aisle. God, in Royal Palm Beach and the overflow there tonight and in the chapel and everybody online. God, I ask you, Lord, like only you can do, your Holy Spirit would go into their heart and touch them. God, do a work that only that you can do, Jesus. And God, we thank you and we praise you for it. And again, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me to receive Jesus right now. Everyone say this so everyone's comfortable. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus on the cross to die for me. I surrender my life to you. I'm not perfect. I'm still a guy. I'm still a girl. But I am now a Christ follower, and I love you. Give the Lord a hand for all those people. Come on, give it up.
Thank you so much for listening today. I always am grateful that you take time to also share this with other people, to write a comment about this. It really makes a difference when you actually, you know, make some noise about it, especially since we only have 5 months left in this year. The good news is five means grace. The entire month of August, we have 5 months left to actually have the grace of God manifest in our life. Don't allow the enemy to take you back and say, man, COVID stopped you. Don't set your, you know, the Back to the Future card in 2020, whatever you do. Or people have t-shirts, I survived 2020. No, you're going to thrive in 2020. It's your year, believe it or not. God can do more in 5 months than you could do in 5 years. So keep the switch of faith turned on. Also, some other news is we're going to start a podcast probably in September, an additional bonus podcast throughout the week. That'll be some interviews with some of my friends and people that'll bring leadership clues to you, as well as God's dealing with me about solving your money problems, kind of breaking down in a Dave Ramsey style that's in my system how you can get ahead financially and set yourself up to win and succeed in 2020. So at any rate, that's going to be happening. So be looking for that bonus podcast every week. And again, many of you ask, how can I support the ministry? Well, it's pretty easy to do it. You can text to give just on your phone right now. You could get out your phone and text 77977. Then keyword, you text the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. So 77977, faith, O-N-L for online. Then a space and then the dollar amount. So again, if you want to keep this ministry strong, you want to help us bless more people, we'd love it. We'd appreciate it. Again, you text 77977 to faith, O-N-L, space, and the dollar amount. Hope to see you again here on the podcast real soon.